To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Yeah, it's really important for him, for his teammates, for any of the guys, honestly. And, you know, looking into it with five games, that's like 30% of our season. You know, there's a lot. All of these matter. And, as he's developing, there's certain things he's working on, too, to go ahead and be as competitive as hell and, you know, like taking care of things that he can. And so it's really important, John. And so as the process for that begins, we're ready to get rolling with that.
That was Dan Quinn today out in Ashburn. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. They're going to help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Mention us, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. The show's out and about. It's a field trip Friday. We are in Reston at Kraft House today. Come on out and kick it with Commanders fans who are getting ready for Week 14. Washington headed to Minneapolis. I want to take a look at the NFL schedule here and go game by game in just a minute. We'll take a couple more of these calls on Jaden Daniels first, though, at 800-636-1067. By the way, Danny has hit the road. He's on his way to George Washington University for an event tonight where he is a Hall of Famer, many of you may know. And Danny has a Hall of Fame event he is helping them with this evening. So I'll be with you the rest of the way. Toby's out here in Reston. We've got Darris and Ryan back in our Half Street studios. But at the end of last hour, it was brought up by, I think it was Chris in Hyattsville, but a caller on kind of distributing the football and what they wanted to see from Daniels against the Vikings. If you really want to drill down on ball distribution, the only thing I would say that would appeal to me, that would move the needle for me in a way that I would care about, because frankly, I think Daniels, for the most part, makes really good decisions. I think he goes to the right place. I do want the ball out faster. I always want the ball out faster. That's less a Daniels critique and more just a proclivity for me. But Marcus Mariota, and this was a stat that I last had out of that Dolphins game, so I don't know what this is now. This was a next-gen stats nugget from NFL Pro. But he had been pushing the ball down the field 41% of the time. So track with me for a second. This means 10-plus air yards on a throw. So I drop back. I throw the ball 10 or further beyond the line of scrimmage. That's considered, for this metric, a throw downfield. And his rate of 41% of his attempts being downfield at that time was highest in the NFL, okay? And that's a half dozen or so games and seven starts in for Mariota. Daniels' rate was down around 30%. Now, that's significantly different. It's also much more the norm around the league as you play a lot more. But in this offense, I like the shots. I like pushing the ball down the field, especially if we're talking about a lost season where the result of the game doesn't matter that much. Frankly, the result play by play doesn't matter nearly as much. Let's push the ball down the field. Let's give Terry McLaurin a chance to make up for some lost time. Let's get Jalen Lane involved, who's got that speed. You saw the tight window, deep post that Mariota hit to him at home a couple of weeks ago in that game against Detroit. So I guess if we're talking about where to throw the ball and who to throw it to, my only thought would be I'd like to see Jaden be a little bit more aggressive vertically than we saw early in the season. But this is coming from someone who loves checking it down, who would use running backs in the passing game a ton, and who thinks that that's one of the more undervalued and underappreciated skills in the league. Should remind everybody that we're giving away tickets to Leonard Skinner one final time this week at 6, coming up in 55 minutes. You better be listening to the show then if you want those Leonard Skinner tickets. And if you're in the area out here by Reston Town Center, where we're at Craft House until 6:30, we've got a raffle going on for Wizards tickets. So you got to fill out your name on our raffle cards, and you have a chance to win tickets to see the Wiz. Let's get to the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number called by Elijah in D.C. Elijah, it's GP. What's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, my man? I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it. No
thanks
problem.
Thanks for taking my call, man. I'm happy that Jaden is back. I've been floating around this idea because I wasn't 100% sure I wanted him to play, but now that he is, I've been trying to find, like, what's my silver lining or what am I looking for most. And I've come to the conclusion I think he gives the best evaluation of the roster. Certain plays aren't just going to be able to be made and or evaluated unless he's out on the field. And I think he's going to be able to give them that in this time. Also having the game tape for Marcus Mariota last week for him to look at it, get the ball out, I think it's going to be very key for him to see this offensive line, how they operate, some things that they had some success on. So when he's coming in, it's like, okay, well, there is a script that exists. Look how the ball was coming out 1.6 seconds. I think he's capable of that too. So if they can just take the formula from last week and keep it going and allow the QB1 to have his number one receiver, number two receiver, number three, there's so many things that we didn't have an opportunity to see. And if I'm going to evaluate my roster, why not give the best look at the guys to be able to say, this is what we thought we were going to get. It's almost like a Twilight Zone episode. It's like, oh, man, this is what we wanted. And I think the fan base can kind of like, you know, you kind of like feeding the wolves, if you would, to be like, well, you can see the idea. You see the goals and you see what was supposed to happen. So that's what I'm looking at. And if they can just kind of present that with these guys, adding Burks, we haven't seen him with Terry and the number two and number three guys. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And if they can, you know, encapsulate what they did last week on both sides of the ball, maybe the defense looks better, which is also a part of this evaluation process.
It's got to be. It's a good phone call, Elijah. Thank you very much, buddy. I appreciate you. I think it's a really, really smart point. I want to come back to evaluating the offense in a second because I think that's actually brilliant that you bring that up. We haven't talked a lot about that, but we'll get back to that. You mentioned how they played against Denver. If they play this weekend against Minnesota on the road like they played at home against the Broncos, then this seven-game losing streak is over. And for the first time in 2 months, believe it or not, they will have won a football game. If they play like they did against the Broncos, they're winning in Minnesota and at the Meadowlands, and they'll win their next two. You've been around long enough to know, just like I have, that's not how the NFL works. You can play a great game against a great team and win or lose, and then the next week you could fail and struggle against a bad team. And so you don't get to just roll the football out and be the team that showed up against Denver again. But I do like seeing Hard Knocks, seeing the Dan Quinn speech after where he says, we lost the game, but we're not lost anymore, addresses the club about finding their identity, the fact that it really wasn't to him, I don't even think, about going to overtime or being with Denver within a point. The result, be damned there, he was saying, this is what we looked like last year. We were aggressive defensively. We were violent in how we hit people. We dominated the line of scrimmage in the run game. We pass protected our butts off. We kept our quarterback clean. We took our shots down the field. We were able to run the football and stay ahead of the chains. This is what this team should be. And they weren't that for so many weeks this year. Doesn't matter if they were playing the elites at the time, you know, your Kansas Cities and your Detroits and your Seattles, or if they were playing bad teams like Miami trying to give you a football game in Madrid that you just wouldn't accept. They lost their identity. And he thought they had found it this past week. I agree with him. Now, does that mean that you have it the rest of the year? Or was it a fleeting moment where you found it in that game and that goes away again? We're going to find that out on Sunday, I think. But I happen to believe, my prediction is, we're going to see that product or closer to it again. And I think it's indicative of the health. They are getting healthier. Having McLaurin back going for nearly 100 yards in that game, scoring the big touchdown late, that's a club you didn't have in the bag in the weeks prior to that. And when you have better football players on the field, you're going to have a better product. This is the healthiest that they've been. With Daniels, now Noah Brown and Terry McLaurin at receiver, with Debo, you push everybody else down the depth chart, you get better. I've said this about the Nats sometimes, where like you're looking at a lineup when they're dealing with some injuries or whatever, and you go, this is like a 59-win team that on this Sunday B lineup that they're playing to give some guys rest. If you played 162 games with this team, you win 59 times. So I don't care if you're built to be an 85-win team. This Sunday 1 o'clock lineup is not a 82-win lineup. Well, they have been, you know, 5-12 roster a lot of weeks because of their injuries. Weirdly, they were on their way to 5-12. As far as the evaluation of the offense, I like the point. I think Mariota, because of his veteran presence, because of how well he knows their scheme, the ball comes out, he makes the right decisions a lot, you still get to evaluate with him. It's not like if you're playing with some scrub off the street or some deep down the depth chart guy, like, not to throw my guy Sam Hartman under the bus, but he really, really rough preseason. If he was playing, I think you'd have a hard time evaluating a wide receiver like Treylon Burks, let's say. You saw it in the preseason where you're throwing backup quarterbacks out there with these guys. How do you know what Jeremy McNichols is if he only plays with your dude that's about to get cut at QB? But Mariota gives you that look. But I think your point's correct in if you want to know what Burks could be with Daniels next year, if you want to know what this offensive line could look like blocking for Daniels next year as it ascends, comes into its own, you know what a really good way to find that out is? Watch it work with Daniels this weekend. And Mariota hopefully will be here as your backup, but he's still the number two behind Daniels distantly for good reason, because Daniels should be able to do everything at a higher level. Let's go back to the phones, 800-636-1067. Ravi's in Herndon on Grant and Danny. What's up, Ravi? How are you?
What's going on, man? How are you doing? Great network, great show. Been a fan for like 13 years. So I always learn a lot and gain a new perspective when I tune in, so I appreciate that. I got a little bit here. Dan Quinn took over the defense. I think that's a good thing. We've seen obviously a better defense and better play calling since then. This season, we got unlucky with the injuries. I think at this point, you got to tank. And obviously, you can't say that out loud as a front office, but, it was just a rough start to the season. It hasn't gone our way. And there's really no point. I mean, we don't even control our own destiny at this point. So there's no reason to lose our draft position. We're playing for the 2027 Super Bowl at this point. I think the rest of the season is extra reps and evaluation. Last season I was really high on the front office and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, I thought, was one of the greatest rookies of all time. Looks like, the front office, he's come down to earth a little bit. He missed some throws. He's missed some people open. He's overthrown and been less accurate than he was last season. I don't know what happened. Maybe he got proverbially a little bit fat and happy in the offseason. Not sure. But, that's one thing. I think he's got to use these extra reps now. And then the front office, we have an aged defense, and it's showing. I think we got to tune that up, and we got to really use this to evaluate as a front office. And one player doesn't do it, but I heard J.P. Finley on the network say, we're playing for Arvell Reese at this point, and I think, there's some merit to that. I just really feel like it's time to pack it up, and we have a talented team. I think that in the future, in 2027, we have a real chance for that Super Bowl. So we just have to, we got to start gearing up towards that as opposed to trying to win meaningless games this season.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I mean, I am and have forever been able to watch a game and understand what you're saying when you suggest it's better if this team loses out. That's nails on a chalkboard for a lot of listeners. They just can't grasp it. They can't wrap their head around this idea of, well, how could a fan of this team want them to lose? And to that I would say, do you like Jaden Daniels? You happy that he's here? Because me and that caller, Ravi, and a lot of other people were saying this 3 years ago when they were coming down the stretch, 2 years ago, I guess. because you wanted the best pick possible so that they could get up. My goal was to get into the top two so that they could take whoever the Bears didn't. You knew they were taking Caleb Williams, and then Washington was going to choose between Daniels and May at number two overall. So if you are one of these folks who says, I just don't understand how fans could possibly care about draft position, that's such a dumb thing to worry about. Well, they didn't affect it by worrying about it, in quotes, by wanting it to happen. But those fans were on it correctly when they were rooting for Greg Zuerlein to make a field goal for the Jets that improved Washington's draft position to go up a spot. Now, I say that to say the team itself should not be doing anything right now at this point of the season to have a better chance to lose. I don't know that they should ever do that, okay? The Wizards are tanking as we speak. They are actively as bad as possible while developing young players so that they can lose enough basketball games to protect the draft pick that they will lose otherwise, top eight protected, and in their case, so that they can be one of the three worst teams in the NBA so that they can have the best possible chance at the number one pick. Because that is the path that is easier than any other for them to get great as soon as possible. So it would be a mistake for them to try to win enough games where they would lose their top eight pick, which is a huge commodity. That would be a dumb thing, we can acknowledge. It would also be ridiculous if they did something to give themselves a worse chance in the lottery at the number one overall pick. Can most of us agree to that? So if you agree to that, then it's also true that you could say, at some point late this year, it will be prudent and smart and wise for Adam Peters and Washington to make some decisions where they multitask both evaluating young talented players and maybe not doing everything in terms of roster construction, snaps, decisions in game to have the best possible chance to win. But it's not going to be obvious. It's not like you're going to go for a fourth and seven at your own four. You're talking about going for the two at the end of a game where you may win, you may lose, but we're not going to keep playing football, a la the Denver game the other night. It's going to be, hey, we could play Zach Ertz and he could go out there and catch seven balls for 81 yards, or we could sit him on this drive because it's time to target Ben Sinnott three times. Like, those are the types of decisions we're talking about. But it is too early to do the thing that you're talking about. 30% of the season remains. It's like saying it's time to bench the quarterback because my team's down by too much when you're down by 13 in the middle of the third quarter. That's what you're suggesting. They have five games left in a 17-game schedule. If they had been eliminated 3 weeks ago, would you advocate at the midway point of the year to do that? I mean, that doesn't make sense. So in 3 weeks, when they've got two games left, you call back in and I'll say, yep, it's time. Let's do it. It's time for less Zach Ertz, more Ben Sinnott. It's time for less Bobby Wagner, more Jordan McGee. And in between now and then, I'll keep turning up the faders on all those things, for sure. But this week is Jaden Daniels' first game back. So everything they should be doing on offense is giving him the best chance to come back and play good football. His last game was one of his worst games he's played as a passer. Not a complaint. Kurt Warner takes him to task in video. Why is he doing this? Why isn't he seeing this? What's happening here? Well, it's because he was getting pressured at an unbelievably high rate, the highest of his career, about 50% of dropbacks. But you know what he needs is a couple deposits now. Let's feel good. Let's play good football. Let's finish the season strong. How do you finish the season strong? By giving him his security valve, Zach Ertz. By giving him the best possible players on the field, McLaurin, Noah Brown. You don't sit Terry McLaurin for three games so that you can be worse. But it's just a little too early for me to start worrying about the draft. You mentioned Arvell Reese, by the way. Unless they're picking in the top two or three, they ain't getting Arvell Reese. Everyone's like, oh, Reuben Bain Jr. Reuben Bain Jr. is off the board when they pick, I promise you. Unless something crazy happens and they end up picking in the top three or two, which is not a thing, that's not what we're talking about. Oh, by the way, who cares? Like, you don't know who's going to be available yet. They shouldn't make a pick in the top five anyway. If they have the number three pick, God willing, that would be amazing. They should be trading it for as much as they could get. Because last year they made the fewest picks possible. And this year, they're about to make the fewest picks of anybody in the league for a second straight year. They have two picks in the top four rounds. They have no business picking a player in the top seven. They need to trade back. Now, you may not have a choice in the matter. You may not get a dance partner, especially in a year where this is not working out for Washington. The quarterback class in college is poopy. This is not the quarterback class that they needed in terms of trade back compensation. Because if there's four or five guys that are really, really good, like in the Jaden Daniels draft class that everybody liked when six went in the top 12, to be able to go from four down the board or six down the board or, you know, be one of these teams in the middle of the top 10 and trade back is actually a lot easier. In their class, Fernando Mendoza, let's say, goes 1-1 or something because somebody trades up with the Titans. Next thing you know, another quarterback, Dante Moore from Oregon, goes to the Saints at number 3 overall or something. There's not another quarterback anybody's trying to trade up for, hypothetically. A lot of the mock drafts you're going to see have Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, Ty Simpson. That's kind of the whole list. So if all three of those guys are gone before Washington's on the board at 6, maybe they can't move back. But that should definitely be the goal, is to add the second-round pick that you don't have, to get another third-round pick, to get the fourth-round pick with a second that you don't have. So would Arvel Reese look good in burgundy and gold? You bet. Would Reuben Bain or Caleb Downs look really good for Washington? Yeah, I'm not going to be angry if that happens. You need great players. They don't have enough good players. They don't have enough picks. They got to try to move back. So I'm not going to go against your logic of wanting a higher draft pick, but this year that does matter a little bit less to me because they have their quarterback already. I've always advocated to go as high up the board as possible because they've always needed a quarterback. The last time we were in this situation in this town, right now I was going, oh my gosh, every loss is a gift from God because it's Drake May and Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Bo Nix and Michael Penix. It's this cornucopia, it's a smorgasbord of QBs. They have their quarterback of the future. So the only thing really right now you want to be up the board for me, is to get as high as possible to trade back anyway, which is valuable, but I don't know that they're going to be able to. There's no guarantee. And they need more picks as it is. That's a good phone call, though. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, Bill Bender covers college football. I want to talk about all of the championship games this weekend. Does Indiana have a chance to beat Ohio State? I'm personally intrigued by that. But also, locally, Virginia, Duke, ACC title game. Huge ramifications not only for the Cavaliers, but also the JMU Dukes have an outside shot to play in the college football playoff. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan from Craft House in Reston. We'll be here until 6:30. So if you're in the area, getting out of the office, driving home, why don't you get out of the traffic on this chilly, snowy day in the DMV and come kick it with us for happy hour. Danny has already headed for the exits. His work week is over. He's at the George Washington University for a function tonight. Grant Paulson with you. And we will take you up to the start of Week 14 in the NFL season. Toby's out here on site and back in studio. Darius Dameron and Ryan Clary working hard on the production. You can stream us, 106.7 The Fan YouTube. You can listen wherever you are on the Odyssey app. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline, though. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome onto the show, Bill Bender from the Sporting News, senior writer covering college football. Bill, this should be quite a weekend coming up, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on, Grant. Where to begin? You know, do you want to start with the playoff craziness, the coaching carousel? I think it's about the playoff this weekend, though, and can we get the right 12 in? And there are some wrinkles to that, starting with the ACC. I think they're kind of the drama for the second straight season.
Certainly. So let's start right there, because I know that a lot of our listeners are inclined – not only on the Virginia Duke game to care, but also the JMU angle here. Is it as simple that if Duke wins that game and JMU handles its business tonight, they're in the playoff, or is there more to it than that?
Well, there's always more to it, unfortunately. In my opinion, it should be James Madison's end. You know, the Dukes have done. I've been particularly impressed with what they've done since they were ranked. You know, sometimes teams will get in the top 25 out of the group of five, then they'll lose right away. They've done their job. And heavy favorites tonight, obviously, against Troy. I think they take care of business. But if Duke wins, then it becomes Duke versus the Dukes in some ways. But it also becomes a political game for the ACC. What I actually think they will do is they'll shift to – I made the joke this week that, you know, Commissioner Phillips may just come out instead of the teams after that game and run a press conference about why Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame, because that would be their better bet to get in the playoff, in my opinion.
So that's one of the other huge debates here, is Miami and Notre Dame, if it comes down to those schools, where do you weigh in?
It's a tough one. I get both sides. You're going to hate my answer because it's like both. I stand on the fence on it a little bit. Miami has the head-to-head. The metrics are comparable. By most of the statistical things, Miami should be in. But I've watched Notre Dame for the last month, and I look at them as a team, and when I watch them, I think there's a team that might actually beat Ohio State this year. And there are not too many that I about at least compete with Ohio State for four quarters. That's not a reason to take one over the other. But the committee has had Notre Dame over Miami the whole time, including Tuesday. Why would they switch it now? And if you want to do the head-to-head argument, I went to a Catholic school, and every Notre Dame fan and their brother and their son and their mom will tell you, what about 1993 when Notre Dame beat Florida State and Florida State won the national title? Nobody that likes Notre Dame has ever or will ever forget about that moment, and they should have won the national title that year.
Bill Bender is our guest talking college football championship weekend and conference plays coming up. We'll dive into a couple of those games with him on Grant and Danny. One other question on the playoff. So Texas is 9-3, and nobody's got a better resume of wins, if that's a thing. But they have lost three times, including to a bad Florida team. Are you of the belief that you disqualify yourself when you lose three times? Or do you think, hey, let's just have the best teams that have the best chance to win with the highest ceilings in there, and if that means a three-loss SEC team gets in over somebody else and the results matter a little less, so be it?
Yeah, I think the committee should do that. I think Texas has a very compelling case. They probably should be in the playoff. Now, we have to weigh both, though. Are we weighing scheduling Ohio State and losing a close game versus they did lose to Florida. Florida did win four games. It's a bad loss. I don't care that they played in the swamp. It's still not great right at the end of the year. And they didn't play well in some of their wins. You know, they needed overtime to beat Kentucky and Mississippi State. It's not like they barreled through their schedule, but they do have an impressive collection of wins. I get everything that Steve Sarkisian said. He's right. You know, why would you step out and schedule out if we're just going to make this a win-loss game? And I've been on that.
Let me double-click on that really quickly, because I think that's the point. We got a lot of people that are listening in the DMV that maybe follow college football casually, and they go, well, they have three losses. What's the debate? Well, the debate is that Ohio State and Texas played to start the year in a game that Texas doesn't have to play. And if you are going to penalize teams for having an extra loss when they've decided, I could have gone cupcakes and just won easy tune-up games, but I gave you what is good for college football, which is good on good, SEC, Big Ten, but you're going to penalize me. Why would anyone schedule those games anymore? Why would we ever get those really, really good games? I think that's a great argument.
We won't get them, and that's the issue, and I totally agree. Now, I've been posing this question, and hypotheticals are what they are. If Texas would have played like Minnesota there, I've used Minnesota. They've caught a lot of strays with this argument. Minnesota and they were 10-2. Is there any doubt in your mind, Grant, that they're ranked ahead of Oklahoma right now? Texas.
Right. No.
There's no doubt in my mind that they are. But they did step out and play that game against Ohio State. And that, like I said, you got to weigh in the Florida loss. There's no question. You've got to weigh in the Georgia loss where they weren't really competitive in the fourth quarter. So, but I want to see good games, and I'm afraid teams are going to see what's happening with Texas, and they're just going to say, you know what, we'll play with how tough these new schedules are within the conference. We're just going to schedule three cupcakes and go on with our lives. And that, by the way, that worked for Michigan in 23, Ohio State last year to some extent. They didn't play anybody in non-con play. And you know, nobody complained at either one of those places at the end of the year.
Looking ahead to the most important 48 hours of college football of the season, Bill Bender is with us. You can check out his work in the Sporting News senior writer on Grant and Danny. Ohio State, Indiana for the Big Ten title, top couple of teams in America. This was at one point in time like the Ohio State-Michigan matchup that everybody looked forward to here with the top couple of teams, and now it's Kurt Cignetti's Hoosiers. Who wins?
I think Indiana has a chance, but this Ohio State defense, they got to score more than 16 points to do it. Ohio State hasn't allowed more than 16 points all year. It's really quite a remarkable stat when you think about it.
Wow.
And struggled to run the football against Oregon, against Penn State, against Iowa. They averaged about 107 rushing yards in those three games. So at some point, it's going to come to Fernando Mendoza or even Julian Sain. Do these guys have a huge game in that spotlight? We'll see. And I think the Heisman Trophy's in the balance there in some ways. I'm super excited about it. But again, Grant, we just talked about it. The value of a conference championship game, it feels a little bit like basketball to me, where it's going to be an awesome game and I'm super excited about it. I grew up around the Big Ten and all that. But at the end of the day, the winner's going to be one and the loser's going to be four. And there's a decent chance they could play again in the semifinals. That's hard to wrap your brain around sometimes, because the last time there was a 1v2 in the Big Ten, it was Michigan, Ohio State. They were both undefeated. It's still the greatest Big Ten game I've ever watched. And there were real consequences. Ohio State went to the title game. Michigan didn't.
Indianapolis, the site of that Big Ten title game, 8 o'clock East time kickoff tomorrow for the Buckeyes and the Hoosiers. Games televised on Fox. In the ACC championship game in Charlotte tomorrow night on ABC, that's another 8 o'clock East time kick, so we'll be multitasking. It's a multi-screen night, I think, for a lot of us. Virginia and Duke. Virginia's only a four-point favorite. Do you think this is going to be a tight game?
Well, Virginia just beat them, didn't they? Not like 3 weeks ago. I love Virginia's running game. I do with Jamari Taylor. I like the quarterback play from Chandler. He's been good since he came out. You know, got knocked out of the Wake Forest game, but they've been good. I mean, you're asking me to predict the ACC. You know how hard that's been this year? I do think Virginia will win the football game. I do think they'll get to the college football playoff, and Tony Elliott's done a wonderful job. He should probably generate more Coach of the Year discussion for what he's been able to do there, for them to go 11-2 and do all those things. Now, if Duke wins, like we talked about, and Duke is capable of winning that game, you know what the irony of this is? And I've heard this a couple times this week. The quarterbacks for Virginia and Duke were the quarterbacks from North Texas and Tulane last year, and those two teams are playing tonight. What a weird, wild sport I cover, and I enjoy every second of it.
You're not kidding. Virginia winning in college football playoff. It's just funny as we talk to you from the Commonwealth, as we're out in Reston right now, that I got a fan wearing a JMU hat here. The Dukes are so heavily involved in everything going on there. I guess we'll keep it local for the final question here. The Napier hire for James Madison University, they've become a power in the Sun Belt, but also just kind of a breeding ground for the next big coach in the league with Cignetti and Chesney walking out the door. What do you think of the Napier hire?
It shows James Madison's real deal. And they're one of those programs that has made the adjustment, made the jump, and made it quickly and been successful. And some of that is the success that they had at the previous level carried over. It reminds me of App a little bit when App made the jump, and they were good right away. And then there was some bumps and those kind of things. Part of it is you can sell your program very well by having your coaches move up. And Cignetti's a great poster child for that, by the way. He's been amazing. And that's my point about Tulane and North Texas tonight. Both of those coaches are leveling up, so to speak. So when you're selling your program to the next guy, you say, hey, if you give us 3-4 good years, you're going to go to this job. And Napier did very well his last time in the group of five, and you know, he can do that again. I still think Florida kind of pressed it a little early on him, like they do with every coach, because that job takes a little bit more to get it going.
Good information. I can't wait for tonight. Going to be an exciting kickoff to a couple of really entertaining evenings in college football. Thank you, Bill. Be good.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Always outstanding. Bill Benner, Sporting News, with us here on Grant and Danny. There is a vicious rumor, an absolutely terrible rumor, circulating about Darius Stammer. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny Without Danny for the stretch run on the Fan. We're at Craft House in Reston. We'll be here until 6:30 getting ready for football tonight in college and all weekend long in the National Football League. I got your preview of Week 14 coming up at the top of the hour. Also, our final predictions for Commanders and Vikings. Paul Allen will be stopping by to scout the Minnesota Vikings, is one of the great play-by-play broadcasters as well. It's part of our stretch run on G&D. But I want to bring in Toby Altizer, who's out here and resting with me at Craft House, who's wearing, by the way, if you're watching the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream, maybe you'll see this, one of the great sweatshirts I've ever seen in my life. It's a Grant and Danny personalized 106.7 The Sweater, Christmas sweater. Which, did you make this on your own, or do these sell these somewhere I don't know about?
Yeah, I found a spot online that I could send them a picture, and they threw on the Rudolph nose and everything, and threw on the Santa hat and everything. So, yeah, I found a spot to do it and sent them the picture, and they sent me this.
I look like Santa. Danny looks like Rudolph. It is a great sweatshirt. Well, Ryan, post this for us, if you will, a screen grab or something, on the station 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, because it's a really, really good look for Toby. He actually did a nice video of our reactions when we first saw him today on his social accounts as well that you could check out. But, Toby, I bring you on because there is a malicious, absolutely remorseless, just terrible rumor circulating the web about Darris Dameron. So Darris doesn't know this, but I actually have enlisted Toby as a bit of a mole of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I had you embedded as a spy in the producer studio after all, many, many months, just so we could get to the bottom of this. And you came back with a verdict for me that does not sound good for Darris Dameron.
Yeah, Darris and Ryan were wondering why I was wearing this long overcoat, a monocle, and all these different things. I'm actually an investigator, so sorry to let you know that, Darris and Ryan. But
P.I. Tobes, and you got to the bottom of exactly what I wanted you to.
I did. So I knew that you guys were going on this trip to Minnesota, and they have this famous chant that they do there. I think they stole it, by the way. Remember the World Cup? I think it was Iceland that kind of started this, the skull chant.
So, right before the game, everybody, like, skulls at the same time, and they clap their hands over top their head.
So I'm pretty sure they stole that from Iceland. But regardless, it's a cool chant.
It's really
gonna be
neat.
Incredible to see in Minneapolis. Darris said that he may or may not be taking part, despite the fact that he's going to be wearing burgundy and gold.
So I need everyone to understand what we're getting at here. Darris Dameron. Commanders fan, Darris Dameron, burgundy and gold clad, there to support the Washington football outfit, plans on doing the skull chant with Vikings fans just before kickoff. And the Vikings are playing who, Toby?
Commanders.
The Commanders.
Now, I have an important question to ask. There is another stadium that you guys were at that has an iconic tradition that you guys were at earlier this year. Was Darris doing the tomahawk chop in Kansas City?
He did not do the tomahawk chop in Kansas City.
So what's different for Minnesota?
It's a great question. And with that in mind, we now bring in Darris Dameron. Defend yourself, Darris.
Wow. I must say, Private Investigator Toby had us all fooled. Getting this information out of me just to deliver it to you guys.
I had a rat infiltrate your operation, and he came back with the info I needed. This was my Billy Costigan, you see?
You just can't trust anybody these days. Listen, guys, we're going to Minnesota to watch two well under 500 teams.
Oh, he's not backing down. He's doubling down. this guy.
We're going to watch two well under 500 teams. Now, if we were in a scenario where these teams are both fighting for the playoffs, the Vikings are, 8-4, we're 9-3, and battling head-to-head, and the fan base is going to be rabid.
If the game was more important, you wouldn't do the skull chant. But because the locals are 3-9 and J.J. McCarthy stinks, you're skulling it up?
Absolutely. The environment's going to be so much fun. And what better way to have fun than to join in on the skull chant, one of the coolest scenes that there is in NFL football. Anytime they show that on Sunday Night Football, I get chills. It's so cool seeing, 60,000 people
Darris,
do that.
Pokey, who's P.I. Toki, that's his name. Pokey.
That's funny.
Pokey was poking around and unearthed this, and as Pokey just brought up, it was a great point by Pokey Altizer. You didn't do the Kansas City Chiefs chop at Arrowhead.
Well, I've been told that that's wrong and that you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't participate in such a thing. Isn't that right?
It was how racist that one is.
Yeah.
That led you to not
well,
do
so,
it.
So I've got a question for Darris then. I know you like to go and take part in big-time traditions, right? So if you're going to a stadium and it's going to be a cool thing.
I know where this is going.
You'll take part, right? Is that the case, Darris?
It depends on the scenario. Where are you going with this one?
He's giving himself an out.
I think the Nationals play at Fenway Park. Can we get you singing Sweet Caroline during the seventh inning stretch at Fenway Park when the Nationals go?
Well, that would require me to go to a stadium in Boston, so let me find out. That's something I would never do, so you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Darris, what team do you – you're a Vikings fan, you said?
No. I'm a Washington Commanders fan. Yes.
Oh, but I thought you said you're doing the skull chant. Something about that doesn't make sense. So if you go see them play the Packers – you going go Pack go?
if I see the Commanders play the Packers,
right.
in Lambeau?
Yeah, they play.
No, that's different.
All game long, they say go Pack go. You're going to do the go Pack go bit.
No, that's different. It's just people singing a song. I wouldn't do that.
You're going to wear a cheese head?
No, that's excessive.
It's the same thing. This is the Vikings. This is what Vikings fans do. If you're in the club, you do it. If you're not in the club, you don't do it. You're going to be doing it
with burgundy and gold on, with a Chris Cooley jersey on. And I'm going to be proud to do it. I can't wait.
Dad, unbelievable. I'll get a video. You'll all be able to watch it at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. When a very excited Darris Dameron is cheering on the Vikings just before kickoff against his team, the Commanders, with Jaden Daniels needing all the positive vibes and energy he can get doing the skull chant. By the way, it looks like Stretch thinks that sweatshirt will be good for the ladies. Says it's going to be beneficial for you and the ladies.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think you walk around with your Grant and Danny 106.7 the sweater shirt?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that this one is a chick magnet.
I doubt it. Knowing what I know, probably not going to help you much. All right, let's scout the Vikings with Paul Allen next. Has McCarthy been as bad as everybody thinks? Plus, I want to get to our predictions for the game. We got our player to lock in on, the Caps power play. We're giving away Leonard Skinner tickets. Have we done anything in the first 4 hours? That's a lot. Final 30-minute stretch run is next on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business, It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.